It was Margaret's 50th birthday the other day, wasn't it, Margaret? She's married to a younger man. And she, the funny thing is, you know when you're losing it, don't you? Because I'd put 5 big candles on Margaret's birthday cake. And then I saw her looking in the drawer for something, and she got another 2 candles, put them in the middle, and then turned to me and went, there, 52. I looked at it, I thought, you've lost it. And you know when someone, as they're saying it, they realise they have actually lost it. So are you actually 50 or 52? Well, Tom's 22, so that'll do. Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Are you happy?
Yes.
Good, tell your face. And tell the person next to you, I'm really happy this morning. And things are going to get better before we're finished. That's good. Jesus was happy, you know that, don't you? Full of joy and anointed. A bit like me, really. Only kidding. Right, would you like to turn to Ezekiel chapter 37? We'll look at this famous passage about the Valley of Dry Bones. We're speaking on the second talk on the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the awesome one who brings about life to dead and dry bones. His breath fills us, makes us stand on our feet, and he's creating a mighty army. It's what he does in every generation. Only God can do it. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're our wonderful teacher. We ask you to breathe right now over us, Lord, and bring things together in us and heal us and put us together and connect us where we're meant to be connected. Free us where we're meant to be freed. And we ask you to speak to our hearts. We open our hearts to you, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord, with your wonderful light and truth. Jesus' name, amen. This is the prophet Ezekiel. He's having one of those big prophet experiences that are so powerful. He said, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. And it was full of bones. And he led me to and fro among them. And I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath, or spirit, or wind, say all the same word, enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you, and make flesh come upon you, and cover you with skin. I will put spirit in you, ruah, breath, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them. And then skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dry, our hope is gone, we're dead. Therefore, preach to them and say, this is what the Lord Almighty says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will take you back to your own land, Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. And I will settle you in your own place. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I, the Lord, have done it. Amen. It's powerful. It's awesome, isn't it? What a wonderful and weird and amazing prophetic experience for Ezekiel to have. He sat down in this valley of dry bones, and obviously, he says there, he's speaking about the nation of Israel, and he's speaking about how they've been cut off from God and judged and exiled. But even though they're so far away and so dry and so without God, God, through his word, through prophetic preaching of good news, they were going to come under the sound of that word and something was going to move. They were going to move and they were going to come together again as a nation, and they were going to stand up the army of the Lord, the people of the Lord again. And you know, with all these prophets and prophetic utterances, these great big ones, there's often many layers of the fulfillment of it. Obviously, it's speaking about the church as well. Obviously, he's speaking about people who are dead and scattered, not only the nation of Israel, but in every nation, who are dead and without God and who need the gospel. And when the gospel is preached, the mighty word of God, they come under that sound and they start to move and change and grow, and they become a vast army filling the whole world. That's what God does in every generation. And then beyond that, he's even speaking about the resurrection of the dead. When Jesus said, I will come back, I will raise you up from your graves. Jesus said, everyone the Father has given me, all that the Father has given me will come to me. I will lose none of them. And on the last day, I will raise them up. We'll all hear a voice. One day we'll be in our graves, won't we? We'll be either cremated or buried. Let's have a show of hands. Who wants to be cremated? No. Anyway, either way, you're going to be dust unless Jesus comes back in the next, few years while he's still on earth, which could very possibly happen. Then you'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. But if not, you'll be dust. But it doesn't matter. Don't worry. Christian might go 6 feet under, but they don't go any further down. And from that grave, Jesus will call you back. You'll hear someone preaching. You'll hear a voice, and your dry bones will start to live again. Is that exciting? And you will, the Spirit of God will fill your body, and you'll get up, and I'll get up, and I'll have a six-pack, and I'll have a brand new body. My old tattoos from my punk rock days will be gone because, no graffiti on God's property, okay? And it'll just be absolutely awesome. We'll have new resurrection bodies. Do you believe that? I hope so. You sang it. It says it in every Christian creed since the beginning of the church. I believe in the resurrection of the dead. Unless you believe that, honestly, you only believe in part. And you can just believe parts of these things. Well, that was about the nation of Israel. It happened. It's finished. God's word isn't finished. He's doing these very things right now. And very prophetically, you could say that about Tees Valley. We're in a valley here, aren't we? Is there any dry bones in this valley? 600,000 people live in this valley. They are dead without God and without hope. They're like dry bones. Dry bones is like life without God, isn't it? Dry bones, what a great picture. You exist, but you're dead. You lied there. It's like life without God. You lied there without any real life. The sun comes up, the sun goes down, the sun comes up. Years pass, your life's going, but you're dead. You're without God. You're without the Spirit of the Lord. You're without purpose. You're without the reason you're on this planet. You don't know what you're here for. You don't know where you belong. You don't know where you fit. You're just a little finger bone or something amidst, right next to an ankle bone or a little. Should we sing the song? Them bones, them bones. Come on. I haven't got much of a sermon today. We'll start with the toes. The toe bone connects. And that's life without the gospel. Life without God. You have no hope. You don't know where you're meant to be. You are dry. You are cut off. It's possible to be a Christian. Become like that as a Christian as well. You sort of drift away from God. You get drier and drier. You get disconnected from the body of Christ, from the church. You don't know what you're meant to be doing. You're not functioning. You're not fulfilling your role. You're not doing what God's called you to do on this earth. And you're just, I'm like a dry bone. But good news for you. When you come under this sound, the sound of the word of God, these promises from God, I will put my spirit in you. I have a plan for you. I'm going to connect you. I'm going to make you into a mighty army. Then something inside you starts to move. As you come under the preaching of the gospel, as you hear the sound of the word of God, it's only the word of God that can do this. You can't change yourself. You can't make yourself into something. You're a dry bone. You're dead without God. But when you hear, when your essence hears the words of God, you start to move. And he said, Ezekiel said it was amazing. When I started to preach this message, the word prophesy and preach, same word. When I started to preach, prophesy, there was a sound rattling. Something starts to move. And that's exactly what it's like. Things start to shake when God starts to speak into your life. Sometimes that's not comfortable. That's what Dave was preaching in the communion preach. He starts to shake things up in your life. He doesn't leave you on the desert floor. Things start to shake and it might freak you out. Many times people come to God through financial trouble, relational trouble. Their family's shaking, their heart is shaking with fear. I don't need God, I'm not interested in God. Just been to the doctors, I've got cancer. Oh, now I'm shaking. Now I'm fighting for my life. Where is God? I need God right now. I need God. I just read the story about a guy in Yonggi Chow's church, businessman, who was a nice Christian, living a nice life, but mainly making money, really. Very successful businessman, very wealthy, had a nice wife, two nice kids. Everything's going nice for him till he goes to the doctor and the doctor says, you have serious cancer in your stomach. You have 3 months to live. There's nothing we can do. Then his business, it's irrelevant. Irrelevant. His nice little family, he's gone. Who am I? Why am I here? Now he's shaking. Actually, it's reality, that. Nothing wrong with reality. Might not be might be uncomfortable, but it is reality. His life's just irrelevant, really. He's not fulfilling the purpose of God for his life. He's just doing his own little thing. That's not God's will. Now he's shaking. And he goes to see Yonggi Chow, and he's in tears, and his family with him, his wife's with him, they're all in tears. What can we do? What can we do? Yonggi Chow said, you need Jesus right now. You need Jesus in your life. So wherever he's been, you better get him right in the center. You better believe he can heal you, and you better get to him and cry out to him till he heals you. That's the only answer. There's no answer. No medical answer because you need God. Or you're going to God. They're the only options. So he booked into their prayer center for the whole weekend to pray. And suddenly he's very serious about God, and he really repented. The first time in his life, Christian life, really repented of all of his sin and in tears cried out to God and gave his life to God. His whole family were with him. They're all crying and fasting, and they stayed there all weekend, just like we've been away for the weekend. But they stayed two nights and they fasted and prayed all day Friday and Friday night, crying out to God all night, praying, crying out to God. Heal our dad. Give our dad life. Please have mercy on me. This is someone who's shaking. Now he's doing business with God. He wasn't before. Often we don't need God till we need God. And he's on the Saturday, he felt even worse and he started to vomit. Vomit black fluid and bits and bobs of black all day. Vomit, 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 vomit. All Saturday night, vomiting, vomiting, they're praying for him, they're crying out to God, vomiting, crying out to God, vomiting. Sunday, he felt strangely at peace, and there was sort of, the tears were a bit less, and they felt like they cried out as much as they could cry out to Jesus for mercy and forgiveness and healing and help. And it's got a nice ending, this story, you'll be glad to know. Went to the doctors the next week, totally healed of all cancer. Not a cancer cell in his body. That was 20 years ago. You know that man? He's one of Yonggi Chow's main leaders. Suddenly, he's into God. He's really committed. His business is whatever. He's living for Jesus. They're faithful members of that church. They're worshiping Jesus. They're giving their money to the Lord. They're serving the Lord. They're bringing other people to Christ. Why? Because he came to a point of reality in his life. Brothers and sisters, get to that point. You don't need cancer to do it. Get to the point of reality where you realize what life is about. Get real with God. Repent of your sins. Come to Jesus. Let him move you through his mighty word and connect you where you're meant to be and make you useful. He connected this man. Like, he was a dry bone, actually, spiritually, this man. Might have had money, but what's that? He's a dry bone now. He's a functioning, fluid, living man who's experienced the healing power of Jesus in his life and the love of God and the forgiveness of God. He is alive. And his family are alive. That's what it means. These dry bones need to move. And as Ezekiel said, as I did, as I preached, they were started this noise. They were rattling. They were shaking. And they were coming together, bone to bone. You know, Jesus wants to put you together again. Should we sing that one? I'll put you together again. Where have you been? Has anyone got any musical bones in the body? It's not, who sang that again? Was it Hot Chocolate or someone? Hot Chocolate can't put you back together again, but good news, Jesus can. And your shattered and fragmented life and heart and relationships and mind, as you respond to the word of God and let this word of God draw you and move you, it's the Spirit of God drawing you to the kingdom of God, bone comes to bone again, personally, actually, in your life. That's what Route 61 is about. What is fragmented and split begins to heal and come together again. You begin to come together again instead of falling apart. It's the kingdom of God. It's the forgiveness of Jesus. It's the power of God. You're becoming a soldier in this army, personally brought together through the word of God. And also corporately, bone to bone, you're brought together into the church. You're connected. You know, you're not just an individual. You're part of a vast army that God is building. It's not enough just to have your own little ministry out there. You can do some good, I'm sure. But a little finger inching on its own doesn't do that much good. Connected to a hand, it can fight, it can punch, it can worship, it can touch, it can love. It can do a million things a hand. When you're connected where you're meant to be connected, then you will be significant in your ministry, in your life. As you let God bring you bone to bone, not just where you want to go. Well, I get on with these people. Then you'll have a load of backbone stuck together. What would that be? It'd look like a Catherine wheel or something, or octopus, I don't know. Weird. Oh, the backbone connects to the, what is it? Yeah, the lower duodenum and the thorax. And the, anyway. You've got to be connected where God connects you. That's the point. Is God connecting you here with Amazing Grace Church? I hope he does. I really like you. But I honestly don't know. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. Only he can do it. Before this church began, I had a vivid dream, a very clear dream, that I was in a cave. And as I looked out of this cave, I saw sunlight and beautiful green fields. And people were coming into this cave, ones and twos, families, then whole gangs of people, then a big queue of people into this cave over the grass, all happy to come. It was the beginning of Amazing Grace Church, but I knew it was a picture from the Old Testament as well, of David's cave, the cave of Adullam. When David was on the run and rejected, a bit like the churches in this nation, and on the back, you know, on the ropes, people came to him and were gathered to him. And the people who came were depressed and in debt and discouraged and defeated. But as they came into that cave and became a community of warriors and worshippers, God was bringing bone to bone, person to person, people who I'm sure David would never pick. You see, these people in this cave, in the end, David was destined to be king. The people in this cave, who were all broken and battered, ended up the people who ran the nation. They became the national army and government under David. But first, they had to learn to worship God. They had to learn to live together, love each other, fight together, win significant battles. They became stronger and stronger. God was doing this. He was bringing about a supernatural army. That's what he's doing with Amazing Grace Church. And for you to be part of that is absolutely awesome. You know, we have different parts of the church. We have the crowd. The crowd is whoever turns up on a Sunday. And if you're part of the crowd, you know what? You're significant. We love you. You're welcome. We want to bless you. And we do bless you. We feed you for free. Come and be blessed. Come and meet Jesus. Come and have communion. Be healed physically. Experience the kingdom of God right here. Because God's called us, the shepherds here, to bless the crowd. That's awesome. But there's a deeper commitment to the church, and that is the members. The members of Amazing Grace aren't the crowd, actually. They get it. They get this vision. They feel called by God to be part of this army. So they commit. They give their money, and they give their serving, and they join relationally to others, and they attend, and they're part, and they love it, because they feel called by God to be part of it. That's what it means to be a member. Then you're a member of Amazing Grace. Do we bless the members? Yeah, we do, but we do a lot more. We work with the members. They're our team. Together, we work together to achieve God's plan. We invest more time into them. We train them. There's higher and higher levels of commitment in this army of the Lord that he's building. And you can go as far as you want. As far as God is calling you. Bone to bone. Where do you lot belong, brother, sister? Where has God joined you to other people to do something significant? That's how a body works, doesn't it? Bone to bone. You're joined so you can find your gift. Oh, I'm a hand. I've always wondered why I never worked on the bottom of a leg. A bit like a monkey, you know. I found my place. This is where I belong. Now I'm going to become awesome at it. That's, you know, a bit like Dave was saying in communion, or someone else was saying as well about, you know, someone testifying, I think, was saying about finding where you belong. And you know, I love that story about the little animals in the forest who all go to school one day. There's a squirrel, a bird, a fish and a rabbit. They all go to school. They do different various lessons. First of all, you have a climbing lesson. The squirrel does great. The bird's struggling. The fish is hopeless. And what was the other one? And the rabbit just keeps banging his head on the tree. You know, he can't get very far. And some of them don't feel too happy. But it's all right, because after break, they have another lesson. It's a flying lesson. The squirrel, you know, does okay. The bird, awesome. The fish is yet again depressed. And the rabbit again is really struggling and a bit bruised. But he's all right, because after lunch, they have a running lesson. And they all run as fast as they can. Rabbit is in his element. The squirrel, not too bad. The bird looks a bit daft, but slow manages to get there. Poor fish. He's still depressed. But at last, he's redeemed at the end of the day because they all jump in a bus and go to the baths. It's a swimming lesson at the end of the day. All the others are depressed now, except the fish, who is absolutely loving it. And when they're going home, they all feel a bit depressed and a bit flat. Because as they were leaving, the teacher said to them, "Squirrel, you're not very good at flying. You're all right at climbing, so we'll knock the climbing lessons out. Let's focus on swimming and flying." He was depressed. The fish, the teacher said, "We'll forget the swimming lessons because you're already awesome at that. Let's continue with the climbing and the running." He was depressed. They were all depressed because the teacher said the same to all of them. As we were going home, they were moaning. They said, One of them said, when I get older, I'm going to become the headmaster of a school, and I'm going to open a school where fish swim, and where birds fly, and where climbers climb, and runners run. Welcome to the church. That is the body of Christ. Jesus has given you natural gifts and supernatural gifts. In order to use them, you have to connect to others and work together as a team. That's how bodies work. Otherwise, you're on your own. You'll never discover them. Or you'll be always trying to be someone you're not. Trying to copy him or her or be them or that. Or you read about him or you thought this or you've heard. Instead of letting God show you your unique spiritual DNA, what combination of gifts he's given you. And then, it's not just knowing your own gifts, though. It's being placed by God where they're effective. That's the point. Being placed by the Lord, bone to bone. And then it says, you know, sinews. I saw sinews being connected. Sinews are for, like, strength, aren't they? Sinews hold the bones together. These are strong. These are relationships in the body of Christ. There's some relationships that are God-given. They're God-given. And they're very strong. And they hold you in the right place when you could drift. We all need brothers and sisters like that. We all need people who God has put in our life. Sometimes it's your leaders. Sometimes it's your brothers, your friends, your family. It doesn't matter really, as long as you know who it is. People who God has connected you to. And it's a divine relationship. You know, I've been friends with Peter Conroy, you know, for years and years. When I first became a Christian, Peter was a real praying guy. He always was. And him and another lad had a prophetic word to come and find me and Terry Young, it was, Terry Young. They didn't even know us. They just got our names off the Lord. Come and find these two guys and start praying with them. So it was a bit weird for me, but I agreed to go. And he goes, Terry agreed, to be honest. That was a bit spooky. But we met together and started praying. And out of that came this real youth movement. And a lot of people got saved. I also met Pete Conroy. And, you know, he's such a hoot. But he's got a lot of things about him that are funny and good and quirky. But one of the great things about him, he's such an awesome prayer. And I wasn't really. I mean, I always loved devotional praying. Don't get me wrong. I could be a monk, if you like, and sit and do psalms and things. And thank you. Is that my vodka? Oh, sermon's going to get better. And, but Pete, like, had a gift of intercession. And we became great friends, and as we prayed together on the fields, I learned to pray from him. I did. I changed. I learned, and he learned things from me. Did, and we're just fantastic brothers. You know, went through stuff together, and did, you know, had some fights as well, disagreed, but it was from God, that relationship, and massively strengthened and held me, and I held him in God for a long time. You know, he's 50 odd year old now, and we're not in the same church, and just different ministry. If he's in trouble, do you know who he rings? Me. Any trouble in his church, any trouble in his ministry, any trouble in his heart, any trouble with his family, I'm first port of call. It doesn't matter if we haven't seen each other for weeks and months. It doesn't matter. It's a relationship in the kingdom of God. I have these relationships with these pastors who God has given me. Stuart, when I heard Stuart, he was just saved and he brought Marion to our house to do a little, I think you were there as well, Debbie, do you remember? Little after Alpha course. And Marion came to our house. She wasn't saved. She was smoking. She had a beard. Drinking vodka and everything. She was fighting with Margaret. No. Anyway. But sat in our front room. And in fact, I think you were saved that night. But earlier in the day, Stuart was telling me a story. I never heard him speak before. He was telling me as he was telling me a story, I thought, I love the way he's telling me the story of how his accident, he's lost his leg and been in the army and worked with the SAS. It was interesting. I said, listen, you need to come with me and start giving your testimony. I thought, I like this guy. I just liked him. I thought, you know, he could be a great preacher, this guy, the way he tells stories. Let's get together. And he was interesting, you know. Do you remember those days when you were interesting? And you know what? And God brought us together, and he's been working with me and serving me, actually, and loving me and helping me as a brother for decades, probably 20 years. That's a relationship in the kingdom of God. That matters. That's held me, kept me, it's held him, it's kept him. You know, when I met Ian, I saw Ian leading worship in his church when I was a visiting speaker. And do you know what? There was something massively attractive. You know, I liked his eyebrows and a bit. No, stop it. And he wasn't wearing shorts, I don't think. But I looked at him and I was drawn to him. You know, it says in the Bible, David saw Jonathan, his heart was knit to him. It was like that. I saw Ian and I thought, he was like a bit cheeky and a bit raw, but obvious, massive gifting of leadership and anointing and authority. I thought, if this guy gets with the right team of people, there'll be no limits to what he can do. I do believe that. And if only he finds the right group of people. But one day. But anyway, and it was like a drawing to him. I thought, I really like him, you know. And when I used to meet together, I just loved chatting to him and listening to him. He made me laugh. He sort of half offended me sometimes. I didn't care. It was about him. Do you understand this? Anyone relate to this? Do you know people who God has put you with? He's joined them to them in various levels and degrees. There's some people you just look at, you just like them. You're not even bothered if they give you grief sometimes, or there's a connection there in God. This is a sinew, right, in the body of Christ. Don't poo-poo it. Never let it go. Work on it. Keep it going. Let it be healed if it gets damaged. They're massively important, your relationships, brothers and sisters. Otherwise, you are cut off. I'm a dry bone, I'm cut off. You are cut off. Unless you're related to the body of Christ somewhere where God is drawing you. You know, some of you come from other churches. Honestly, I think God's drawing you. I do. It's a very brave thing to do it to a new church. To leave your friends and reconnect is massive and has to be God. I've done it a couple of times. It has to be God, but it can be God. And if it is, then well done. Welcome. Come to this cave. Be healed. Be connected. Be trained and become a mighty army for God. I believe you can become a mighty army for God. Mighty warriors. David had mighty men with him. As you gather around Jesus, Jesus is our David. So we worship him and listen to him. He's doing something right here with us. You're part of it because you sat here. Massive privilege. And then, lastly, they're all ready. The sinews, the skin. There's only one problem. The lad flat on the backs and the useless. That sound like yours. I'm well trained. I know it all. I've done Route 61 4 times. I've got all the little badges. I understand it. I believe in revival. There's only one problem. When's it going to start? You know what? I can't answer that. I don't know. All I know is be trained. Be ready. That army that was in David's cave, they worked together, fought together, worked together, fought together. One day, Saul was dead. And that was it. News came, the king is dead. David, you're next in line. You're the king. Right? Guys, pack your stuff out the cave where we're going. The palace. Wow. It was a move of God, actually. That's exactly what happened with Jesus and the 12 and his 120. They were trained. They'd done... been sent out, cast out some demons, healed some people, trained, ready, together. They were brought together with people who they didn't really like at first. I mean, have you thought about Jesus 12? You have Simon the Zealot. A zealot? I mean, that's not someone with a political leaning. A zealot was someone who killed Roman soldiers. The Romans called them terrorists. The Jews called them freedom fighters. He was someone who killed Roman soldiers and anyone who collaborated with them. So he's a zealot, Simon, with Matthew, a tax collector who worked for the Romans. Matthew, have you met? Imagine Jesus. I don't know how he did it. Matthew, have you met Simon yet? Look at each other. Want to kill each other? But oh, one wants to kill one. Matthew's probably, I'll walk with you, Jesus. Keep out the way of him. He's a loony. This was Jesus' team. These are the 12 apostles gathered together. It doesn't matter whether you naturally like the person next to you or the person who God's put you with. What's that got to do with anything? Let me tell you, when you're a soldier and you're training, you might not get on with certain people and all the rest. But I tell you, when you're on the front line and you get dropped behind enemy territory together, you're a band of brothers. You look out for each other because it's real. And you have to depend on each other and work together. We need to get over whether we like people or not. We need to ask God, am I meant to be working with this team? Am I meant to be in this group? Then you're ready. And then when they're ready, they have to have a Pentecost. They wait for a mighty crashing wave of the Holy Spirit. Prophesy to the breath, he says to him. Prophesy to the wind. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, breath of God. Come, Ruah of God. And breathe upon these slain that they may live. And even though they're all together and ready and connected and trained, they're without the vital power to make them a mighty army. But in a moment, the breath comes, fills them, and they stand up. A mighty army. That's what it was like. Over and over again in the Bible, the devil thinks he's won. Saul feels like he's won. He's hunting David down. His army's chased, hiding in caves. Saul feels like he's won. But all of a sudden, there's this army that comes out of the cave, ready to run everything, actually. The enemy thought he'd won, crucifying Jesus. The Jewish authorities thought, it's over. We've crucified him. He's buried. There's a few rumors about him rising from the dead. It's finished. His followers are scattered. Christianity's over. We buried it. It's all done. 3,000. What? Where did these lot come from? Where did this vast army come from, filling Jerusalem with the gospel and healing and miracles and signs and wonders, casting out demons, preaching Jesus? Where are this lot from? I thought we stamped them out. Listen, brothers and sisters, Satan thinks he's stamped out Christianity in Europe. Satan thinks he's finished us off. But he's wrong. There's a rattling. There's a moving. There's a coming together. There's a preparation, and the mighty wind of revival is going to blow again. And you're all going to be part of it if you want to stand up and fight for Jesus, to go to the ends of the earth. Who's up for it? Get on your feet then, and let's believe it. Reach out to the Lord. The Holy Spirit's here. Some of you just need to get saved. Listen to me. Some of you aren't born again. And you just need to get born again this morning. You're in your sin. You're away from God. You're a dry bone. And Jesus in his love wants to draw you into this morning. But this is an opportunity for you to be saved and delivered from Satan. You'll die a dry bone if you're not saved. This is a very important moment for you. So let the Holy Spirit show you, are you born again or not? Because none of this will affect you if you're not. Let the word of God move you now. Before you're dying of cancer, before you're on your deathbed, don't come to God on your deathbed. Come now, this morning, to Jesus and be saved. Be a wise man or woman. If that's you, you cry out to God now and say, Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Save me. Bring me into the kingdom of God right now. And others of us in here, you just know you need to be connected. You need to be connected more, bone to bone. Let the Lord bring you in. Stop fearing being connected. Stop fearing what God is doing in your life. Go with it. Don't hang around in the crowd if you're meant to be committed and in. Get in. Get serving God, pleasing God, working with the team, and you'll have tremendous joy. You'll have a fantastic life. There's no life, no adventure like walking with Jesus. And the rest of you, you know, there's some of this about relationships. You need to make some effort here, some of you, some real effort to open your heart, not be afraid, and connect to people who you want God to connect you to hold you strong, to train you, to take you to the next level. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're here. Mighty breath of God, doing an awesome work here, doing an awesome work, blowing across Europe, drawing together a mighty army for your glory. Holy Spirit, we welcome you this morning into our hearts, and we ask you to do a great thing in our midst. Just sensitively, put the hand on your shoulder of the person next to you and just pray for them. Holy Spirit, we thank you. We ask you to come and fill this place right now. We take authority over all sickness and disease. We rebuke sickness, illness, diseases, all infirmity and pain. Leave this room now in Jesus' name. We command sickness to go. We take authority over every demon, every lying spirit, every deceiving spirit. We bind you, we rebuke you, command you to go, all distraction. And Holy Spirit, we ask you to bless now with life and health and strength and fullness and fire and vision and faith. Stir up those gifts like Angela experienced at the weekend. Stir up those gifts and then give connection and platform for them to be used. Come, Holy Spirit, do a mighty work in this place. Hallelujah. Give someone a hug.